Open our ears, Lord, to hear your word and to know your voice. Speak to our hearts that we may serve you. Amen. So I guess the text that we've had today, for me there are some key questions that arise from it. What does it actually mean to take the good news into the world? We've talked about and we've sung about the city and being the God of this city and that there's greater things to be done. We've sung, build your kingdom here. But what does it actually mean for us to take the good news into the world, to be builders of the kingdom? And how do we respond when we go out in mission, whatever that might mean, and we'll come to that a bit later, and we're greeted with indifference, hostility, it doesn't seem to be working, or even, surprise, surprise, when we are received? But what I want to do today is to look at three things from this passage about mission: the who, the why, and the what. Who is it that is called to mission? Why are we called in mission? And what do we actually do when we go? So firstly, who is called in mission? When we think of mission, our go-to text is usually Matthew, isn't it? If we said, oh, you know, what's the text in the Bible that we turn to when we think about mission? We normally think, oh, Matthew 28. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we call this the Great Commission. The people who are translating the Bible stuck in this little heading, the Great Commission. Not there in the original, but they thought they'd name it. It is a great thing. Jesus is commissioning his disciples to go. But so often we can just fall back on this being the only text that we see about mission and the only thing we think about going. But actually, there's a lot more in the Gospels. If we just pick out tiny bits of the Gospels, we miss something. We need to see the whole. And today's Gospel reading is a little bit different. In chapter 9 of the Gospel, what we've seen is Jesus sending out 12. The 12 disciples, as they often get called. And now he sends out 70. Now, we just read that, oh, we sent 12, we sent 70. Numbers are really, really significant in the Gospels. Numbers were obviously often very, very significant in the culture of the time. He sends out the 12 disciples, the 12 that he brought close to him. And now he sends out 70. There is an implication here that we are all sent. In Genesis 10, they listed the nations, and the number nations came to 70. Now many scholars look at this and they say, well, what Luke's really saying here is the 12 were Israel, now it is for all humanity. We are to take the gospel to all. I also think there might be some significance in originally sending 12, the 12 guys that he called closely to himself, and then commissioning 70. And I think that what that's saying to me is he sends all of us. It's not just sending the professionals, if there are such thing, but he sends all of us. We are all to go. Mission isn't about the 12 appointed apostles. Yes, it is, but it's much bigger than that. Mission is about all of us. Now, the other day I was, it was actually Anthony's ordination, when the dean of the cathedral was speaking, and I was reflecting on our use in this church of the term ministry team. And I actually thought that's a really bad word. Sorry, Andy, that's a really bad word. I have warned him that I was going to, you know, slate our terminology. We use the term ministry team. What does that say? That really says that, you know, three or four of us are doing the ministering in this church. It can imply that the licensed or employed members or the lay readers are the ones doing the mission. That is utter rubbish. That is the wrong terminology. If you can think of a better, I thought about the equipping the saints for works of service team, but I thought that sounded a little bit unwieldy. So if you can come up with a better title that we could use, that would be better. It's not us doing the mission. we are called to mission. We maybe need to rethink our terminology and that it sends the wrong message. We are all the ministry team in this church. Jesus sends all of us into mission. And what's really interesting is when you read those first passages till you come to this passage, you see them being sent to seminary, going to theological college, going on training courses at Holy Trinity Brompton on how to do... Oh, none of that. What we see, we don't actually see anything. And I'm not saying that training is wrong. I really value some of the training I've been on. I went to a conference a couple of weeks ago, and I really value the training and the input you get from others. But what we see, what was the requirement for these people being... They spent time with Jesus. We all spend time with Jesus. We are all called. It's not about the professionals. It's not about being trained to a certain point. What we see is Jesus called people to himself. He's called us to himself. He appointed them and he sent them out. We have all been appointed by Jesus. Like the 70, we are all sent out in mission. And I think I said a few weeks ago that I'd been on some curate training, and it was about liturgy. And the liturgy at the end, when it's, the sending out, go in peace, to love and serve the Lord. I'll be very Anglican. You know, what it's meaning, as I think I said the other week, the real meaning of it is, go on, get out of here. And I think that's the emphasis of what Jesus is saying. So who is called? All of us. We are all the ministry team. We are all called to go on, get out of here, and take the message out. Secondly, why are we called into mission? Well, it says in that passage, the harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Which is why we see Jesus saying to the disciples, pray for more labourers to be sent into the harvest. There is nothing wrong with the harvest. The problem is the lack of labourers. We sometimes look out there, and even maybe when singing those songs, sometimes thinking gulp when we think of some of the areas that we may be in, that we may be sent to. We can sometimes see something that looks scarce and looks difficult. What does Jesus see? He sees an abundant harvest. We can see scarcity. Jesus sees abundance. Lord, give us the eyes of Jesus for the harvest. And what's really interesting is we're not commissioned to go and prepare the harvest. That's God's responsibility. We are called to gather in the harvest that's already growing, that's already out there, that seeds are already planted in people's lives, and to pray that other labourers will join us in this work, that we might be one of those labourers. God is responsible for the growth. What we're called to do is look for the signs of growth. Where is there growth? Where is there growth in our community? Where is there growth in our neighbourhood? The harvest is plentiful. Lord, send out workers into the harvest. We are to look for where the harvest might be gathered, to pray for and invite others to do the gathering with us. God has prepared the harvest. Now we might go, okay, that's really nice, I like that, but it's not really for me. You know, what reasons do we give ourselves to let ourselves off the hook? As I said earlier, we don't see the 70 having loads of training, but they went at Jesus' command. And as I think I've just sort of mentioned earlier, I think there's a problem if we professionalise mission. We can only go once we've done this course and learnt these techniques. I'm not saying those things are bad, but if we wait until we are ready, if we wait until we've got it all sorted, we will wait a very long time, and I don't think any of us will probably go. We can always go, not quite yet, I'm not quite ready. We all need to go because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. It needs all of us. God sends all of us out. And then thirdly, how do we go in this mission? But what does the passage say here? Well, I think we have a picture of what mission is. Again, it's not the whole picture of what mission is. We need to look at the Gospels in the whole. We need to look at the book of Acts. There's all sorts of different things that we can learn about mission. Let's see it together rather than picking out isolated things. But I think we see a bit of a picture of mission, and I think it's really helpful for our day. You know, we can sometimes think, oh, mission. Mission's standing on street corners. It's setting up projects. It's, you know, putting on an event somewhere. It's forcing Jesus into the conversation. You know, isn't that a nice cup of tea? And tomorrow we can turn that around and say, isn't Jesus lovely? But that's not the picture that I see here. That's not the picture that I see in the sending out. We need to, you know, as I say, we need to not just see this as a blueprint. There's lots we can learn from this passage. Firstly, it says we are sent, in verse 3, like lambs in the midst of wolves. We are to go like lambs among wolves. We go with the authority of Jesus. Great. But it's not an abusive use of authority and power. It is going like lambs. It's an authority that we carry that's different to the authority of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when I go out and I think about taking Jesus out to others, I feel like a bit of a sheep, a timid little sheep. And Jesus says we will go like sheep among wolves. Actually, it's quite a strange saying, isn't it? Go among sheep among wolves. Wolves eat sheep for dinner. Okay? It's not saying this is going to be nice and cosy and nice and easy. And what it's saying is that there will be opposition. It can be scary. But what I see here is a picture of peace and vulnerability, not a going in power. We go like lambs among wolves. Which takes me to my next point. It says, take nothing and seek the hospitality of the other. The 70 go in vulnerability. They go in intentional poverty. They are travelling light. We often think when we do mission, we go in power, rah, we've rah, 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 we've got Jesus, we're going to go and do this, we're going to put this on and we're going to sock it to them. What you see here, we go out like lambs. We depend on the hospitality of others. And I think historically, when we think about mission and we think of the history of mission, there's been a little bit of we go out and we do to you. We do to other people. We're going in power, sometimes, dare I say it, arrogance. And we miss something. What about, instead of going in rah-rah, of course we want to go with the confidence of who we are in Christ and the power and authority of Jesus. I'm not saying that we don't do that. But what if we go in vulnerability? What if we go in vulnerability rather than, ugh, we've got it all sorted? We often go on mission taking something, whatever that might be, doing too. What if we went in vulnerability? You know, it's also, I think, an encouragement to us. If we sit here knowing that we've not got it all sorted, that we've not got everything we need, there is a bit of a gulp on going out like a sheep among the wolves, I think that's a good place to be in. I think the dangerous thing is when we think that we're going and we've got it all and we've got it all sewn up. The kingdom thinking is topsy-turvy. The way of the kingdom going in weakness, in humility, taking nothing, subverts the way of the kingdom, the way of the world. The kingdom subverts the way of the world. It goes in power, and I'm going to go to you and I'm going to impose. And I think that historically we've been more accustomed to going and giving and taking something than going and receiving. And I just wonder whether in going and doing too, whether we've missed opportunities. We go with a vulnerable dependence on Jesus. And it says the 70 are to accept the hospitality of others. So what about if we went in mission rather than thinking we're going out and we're going to and doing to, we sought the hospitality of others. We went and we sought what a phrase has been come to be used in the church recently, the people of peace, from this passage. We go and we see where we're received. We go and see where there is some welcome. We go and see where there is some connection. And we stay with those. Now, probably for us, that doesn't mean actually we physically stay in their house unless God sends us out somewhere else. But I think we've got some of those people in our community. I think we've got some of those people that we've gone out to, or even have come into our doors and we've made connection with. The people of peace. Seek them out. Stick with them. Let's see what we can receive from others. Rather than going in power and might and, say, sometimes arrogance. And if we go and see where there's connections, where there's the people of peace, where we go in humility to learn as well as to take something, I wonder what God might do. If we go without the baggage and rely on the Holy Spirit, who knows where God might lead us. And it also says, eat and drink what's provided, what's set before you. It's interesting that Jesus commands his disciples to do this. Eat and drink whatever's set before you. We might think, oh, that's great. Remember, these guys and ladies, whoever they were that went, were Jews. They were Jews and they were being told to go and eat whatever was put before them. That in our culture might have been a nice bacon butty. I'm sure it wasn't quite the same there. But they were to go, and what it meant is actually go and eat the things that you weren't supposed to do. If somebody puts in front of you a nice pork chop, eat it. You know, and it defiled the food laws. And it takes me forward to Acts 10, where Peter sees the sheet coming down from heaven. Even the normal expectations of what they were to do were to be set aside for the gospel. And I just wonder, where do we need to set aside our us and our them? I loved a few months ago, we went, didn't we, Elizabeth, into the Gurdwara, and we went and received their hospitality. I've been in there twice, maybe I should go in there more, and receive them and just see where God might take us. Where do we need to lay aside they're in and they're out? We can go there, we can't go there, for the sake of the gospel. Where do we need to say, we're going to eat and drink what's put before us, even if it might blow our mind? It says to pray for the sick, proclaiming the kingdom of God. This is a holistic approach for mission. Praying for the sick, caring for the needs of the individual, but also proclaiming the kingdom. A mission that's both in word and in action. Looking for the signs of the kingdom and proclaiming it is near. Looking for those shoots that are coming up. Looking for the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is among us. The kingdom of God, there are signs of the kingdom out there if we will go as lambs amongst wolves. But we're also told not to worry when we get rejected. Move on, is basically the message that's there. We will face opposition. Lambs among wolves. There are some wolves out there, aren't there? Both, you know, in our minds and in reality. We shouldn't be surprised by the opposition. But those who reject, what we see in this passage, is that those who reject, it's not our responsibility. We leave it to God. God is the judge. Judgment belongs to God, not us. We are called to go, see where we're received. If we're not received, okay, that's fine, move on. Let's seek the people of peace where we are. So I just wonder, in conclusion, what would happen if we saw ourselves as being among the 70, following in the footsteps of the 70. We are messengers. We are appointed to bring the good news of the kingdom to others in word and in action. Our authority is not in our status. It's not in our possessions. It's not in our abilities. And I think this is where the Church of England is at the moment. I think for years and for decades we've gone in power because of our status in the nation. That's been stripped away. And we go in vulnerability. We go saying, what have we got to bring? We're not coming in power. What can we bring? We go in vulnerability. We go in reliance on God. If you feel a little bit sheep-like this morning at the prospect of going out, scared and vulnerable, what can I give? You are the perfect person to be sent out into mission. To simply go. To seek the people of peace. So who is to go? All of us. Why are we to go? Because the harvest is plentiful. The harvest is there. There is abundance out there, but the workers are few. Remembering that God grows the harvest, we just need to look for the signs of it. And how are we to go? In vulnerability. Not having it all ourselves, not going and doing too, but in vulnerable reliance on the Holy Spirit. Seeking the people of peace. Receiving the hospitality of others. And seeing what God might do in and among that. So let's ask the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers. And as we do so, we might find that we're part of the answer to our own prayers. Amen.